Tonight at 7:30 at MPAC at RPI, they're presenting Pulitzer Prize-winning composer and Bang on a Can co-founder David Lang's orchestral work, Darker, lowercase d for the record. The evening-length composition will be performed by Ensemble Signal with live projections, which we'll talk about in a few moments. Scored for 12 strings, Darker is a slow exploration of sound. At times, it gives the ensemble the feel of a giant pipe organ, or with the aid of the live projections, the feel of splattering rain on an immovable wall. David Lang is one of America's most performed composers. He is co-founder, as I mentioned, and co-artistic director of New York's legendary music collective, Bang on a Can. He is a recipient of many awards, including the Pulitzer, a Grammy, an Academy Award, and a Golden Globe nomination. We welcome David Lang back to the roundtable. How are you, sir?
I'm really well. Thanks so much for having me back.
Wonderful to have you on the program. Wonderful to talk about this very exciting project. How long has this been in the works?
I wrote this piece probably, 7 or 8 years ago. And this is sort of the fruition of long planning of who should be the ensemble to play it here, who should be the person who does the light projection. So this is the most perfect realization of this piece it's ever going to have.
Okay. What, bring us through that process of getting it right so that you come to this point of saying, okay, I have the people I want involved in this.
Well, it's a very special project. And for me, one of the things I do with my pieces sometimes is I'm very nerdy. I love classical music and I have a doctorate and I'm a college professor. And so I think about classical music all the time. But one of the things I think about is the kind of limitation, things that we take for granted with classical music that we don't really have to, and what happens if we examine those closely. So one of the things that happens in classical music, if you think of a traditional symphony, is we expect it to go from very exciting, lively, fast movement to a very depressing, miserable, slow movement. You know, it's like the emotional range of these pieces is huge. And then I think, well, what kind of emotional range do I want to live in my own life? I don't want to have that range. You know,
right.
I don't want to be... I'm willing to say there are times in my life where I would trade being a little less happy so I can protect myself from being a really, really miserable. And so, you know, what I really hope for is a life which is kind of even, right? You know, that's the life I want to live, you know, like a really pleasant, happy, thoughtful, deep, introspective, even kind of thing. So I tried to imagine a piece of music that would have a lot of activity, like our lives, but that the emotional range of it would be, it would just move slightly so that you would need to start over again at the end just to measure the distance that you traveled. So I thought, well, you could make a piece which becomes a little bit happier, or you could make a piece which becomes a little bit darker. And I thought, well, you know, that's sort of more like what life does. So the piece is called Darker because it spends this huge amount of energy to make this beautiful journey to get a little bit emotionally darker at the end.
Okay. So, but we're starting at a lighter place than we end.
Yeah. We start lighter and we end a little darker. Not too much darker.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a really depressing thing, but I think about these, you know, symphonies of Gustav Mahler or something where, you know, I think, you know, how can you not want to jump in front of a bus after all of the incredible emotional range of those pieces? You know, they're so devastating and the highs are so exhaustingly exciting. And, you know, this is an attempt to say, well, music can do something else for describing our emotional lives. And maybe that's an interesting job for me.
It is. It's an interesting idea because moods are far more subtle than, as you say, it's not happy, I'm going to give everybody I see a $100 bill, or I'm going to step in front of a bus. There's
right.
a lot in between there.
And most of us live in that normal place.
Absolutely.
So
thank God.
Thank God. That's right. You know, we expect that our lives should be something. And it seems really strange sometimes that we expect our art to be living on another plane. So what's it like if our lives and our art actually coincide?
So when you start off, was projection always going to be a part of it?
Yeah. So I wrote this piece with, it says in the score that there's an invitation to someone to do some kind of light projection, to theatricalize or physicalize the performance. And it's had a number of different versions, but this particular artist, Suzanne Bocanegra, has done this piece now 3 or 4 times. And she's an artist who is has done a lot of work about color theory. And so one of the things which is interesting in music history is there are all these people who claim both from the art side and the music side that there is a connection between sound and color. So Scriabin, of course, and Messiaen and all this. So there's a way that there's a synesthesia of connecting music and color. And so what she did is sort of after doing all this research of how color theory and music have been combined for better or worse, she has made this liquid light show so that the change of the color so that the change of the color sort of coincides with the change of the emotion of the piece. And she makes it right in front of you. So she has this, you know, kind of beautiful, it's what was done in 70s rock shows where, with the liquid light show where, right. you know, where there's this incredible kind of psychedelic thing that's made right in front of you, but with the help of computer processing and with the fact that what some of her materials are kind of odd. It becomes something much deeper and much more kind of interesting and curious.
Is it does it always, do you believe, have to be a companion to the piece?
I don't think it needs to be a companion. And I think one thing that you can do as a composer is you can say, I write a piece of music and I have the one definitive version of it and I never want to hear it any other way.
Right.
Or you can say, I'm doing something which is kind of like an open door. You know, it's like I make something and it's an invitation to other people to walk through this door their own particular way. And so
is that interpretation?
It's an interpretation, but I think sometimes, and we expect that in classical music, we expect that players will bring something to themselves, but to invite someone to say, you can add light, you can add theater, you can add visuals, you can add movement.
Mm.
That's, I think, sometimes with the right piece and with the right collaborator, it's a very beautiful invitation.
I ask the question because I find myself so often in music, classical music in particular, because of what I do and it is so aural,
right.
that I often, and this freaks guests out when I do this, but I often just shut my eyes. So I'm hearing what the listener's hearing.
Right.
So often when I'm listening to music, I often do that. I have my own colors going on. You know, you have your own scape happening.
Right.
And so to have that provided for you is also very cool. And yet, I guess you can incorporate both, can't you?
Well, I love this, like following up on your idea, it would be really fantastic to do a performance where you have an orchestra piece and everyone is given a blindfold.
Yeah.
You know, that would be beautiful too. But basically, I think you want to make it possible for as many listeners to react in as many ways as they can, you know, because the piece, it doesn't really work if it's meaningful only to me. It has to be meaningful to the person who receives it as well. And so a kind of visual which is narrative and imposes a way of listening to it, you know, may tell you too much, especially with a piece that's as hypnotic you know, psychedelic as this one.
Mm. Talk about it being psychedelic, of how do you write that?
Well, I think...
Or compose it, I should say.
I think for me, it's sort of a question of what you leave room for. You know, there are a lot of pieces that that tell you, get happy now, get sad now. You know, if you go to movies or something,
yeah.
you know, it's like the music is really important and it's micromanaging your emotional life. So
it's manipulative.
It's manipulative, yeah. And that's not to say that there's anything wrong with that. You
mm-hmm.
know, we like being manipulated. That's why music's useful. But sometimes I find one of the great gifts of music is that I get to sit in a room and I get to space out and I get to think about what I want to think about and no one is telling me what to do. And I never have a chance where I can just sit and be by myself for an hour and I get to pay attention to what I want to pay attention to. And so sometimes I think that's a nice thing that music can do is to say, here is this time and there is music happening on stage, but it may not be the music that tells you how to how your emotional life should be shaped. It's just music that gives you permission to react to it in whatever way you like.
When those 12 strings are on the stage and you have the projections, where are you?
I'm blissing out in the audience. That's where I'm going to be. You know, it's really relaxing for me because everyone involved in this project is a really great performer and I don't have to do anything, you know, so it is really...
You've done your work.
I've done my work, yeah. In fact, being on this show is the most stressful thing I'm going to be doing today.
Well, hopefully we haven't made that too stressful. We don't want to make it darker. It's just quo. And as you said, that this has been going, you working on this for 7 years. So there's always projects... There's a lot of different things going on at once, I assume, for you.
Right. Yeah. So one of the things is that, you know, if you do a big project, a lot of those things take years to work out. And so you're constantly managing things which are happening next week and things that are happening in 4 years. And so it's kind of a bookkeeping problem, but it's also really fun because you get kind of multiply inspired.
But you can put yourself, because there is such emotion to so many of these, that you can put yourself in these different places. I mean, I've heard writers that say if they're writing fiction and then the day job is sort of writing nonfiction, that getting from one place to the other is so impossible. But you're able to move freely between the projects.
Well, for me, I love that. I mean, I love the idea that if I get stuck... Like if today I'm not able to answer the question in this email for this project, I can answer the question in this email for that project, you know. So there's a
that's a great way of putting it.
Yeah. So there's a range of people yelling at me at all times. And, you know, some days I feel like I'm better at solving one of those problems than another.
Well, it just sounds like a wonderful evening. It is tonight at 7:30 at MPAC, a perfect place. And Pulitzer Prize-winning composer and Bang on a Can co-founder David Lang's orchestral work, Darker. For more information, you can visit mpac.rpi.edu, mpac.rpi.edu. David, it's always a great thrill to have you on the program. I wish you all the luck in the world.
Thank you so much. Can I say one more thing?
Of course.
You will never hear better string players than you are hearing on this show.
Where do they come from? All over?
They come from many different places. So this ensemble Signal, run by Brad Lubman, they're amazing players. And I myself walked into the rehearsal this morning and I could not believe the A-list of amazing players who are playing in this piece. So even if they were playing any other music, not my music, it is worth it to come and hear them play because they're so spectacular.
So back to the idea of you blissing out. We'll get to join you in that.
I'm going to be so happy. But I wish I had like baseball cards for these players. They're that good, you know.
Let them sign. Excellent. Tonight at 7:30, it's Darker, mpac.rpi.edu. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
Be well. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.